Welcome to the podcast of the Believer's Bible Class, a part of the historic First Baptist Church located in downtown Dallas, Texas. Each week, we share the Bible lesson from our longtime teacher, Doug Brady. Doug is a student of the Bible who is proficient in both ancient Greek and Hebrew, which makes his explanations of Scripture all the more interesting and accurate. Professionally, Doug is an attorney, although he considers his Bible teaching as his godly profession. Today, we take a short breather from our study on King David, the man after God's own heart, as Doug is away. And we are so happy to have Doug's lifelong friend, Chris Florence, filling in, and he brings a wonderful lesson titled, What Gets Us Back Home? I know you will enjoy the lesson and will join us in thanking Chris for bringing it to us. So without any further comment, let's go into the classroom of the Believer's Bible Class, a part of the historic First Baptist Church located in downtown Dallas, Texas. Here now is our guest teacher, Chris Florence.
My message series is entitled, Coming Home. Coming Home. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Florence. I'm subbing today. I'd like to start out by reading some scripture. It's in Psalms 3, but don't turn there because it's in the, and this is another thing you can't tell Doug. It's in the New Living Translation. It's the only time I've looked at the NLT in the last 20 years, I think. But this is so good. So please indulge me here and y'all just listen to this passage. It's Psalm 3. This is when David was running from his son Absalom, the one he treasured. Listen to what he says. O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me. My God, strike all of my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. May he bless us in this class. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Father, that we can come again and glorify you. Because, Father, you're all we need. You're all we've got, and you're all we need. Father, now I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds. You'd give us vision. You'd allow us to see what you want us to see. You would only present today, Father, what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. On a raw winter night, a man heard an irregular thumping sound against his kitchen storm door. He went to a window and watched as tiny, shivering sparrows, attracted to the evident warmth inside, beat in vain against the glass. Touched, the farmer bundled up and trudged through fresh snow to open the barn for the struggling birds. He turned on the lights, tossed some hay in the corner, and sprinkled a trail of saltine crackers to direct them to the barn. But the sparrows, which had scattered in all directions when he emerged from the house, still hid in darkness, afraid of him. He tried various tactics, circling behind the birds to drive them towards the barn, tossing cracker crumbs in the air toward them, retreating to his house to see if they would flutter into the barn on their own. Nothing worked. He, a huge alien, had terrified them. The birds could not understand that he actually desired to help. He withdrew to his house and watched the doomed sparrows through the window. As he stared, the thought hit him like a lightning bolt out of the clear blue sky. If only I could become a bird, one of them, just for a moment, then I wouldn't frighten them so. I could show them the way to warmth and safety. At the same moment, another thought dawned on me. I grasped the whole principle of the incarnation. A man becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a man. The concept of a sovereign being as big as the universe he created, confining himself to a human body was and is too much for many to grasp. It only takes a miracle. Belief, faith, and salvation are from God. Have you got it? Have you got it? You know, aren't we sometimes like the birds seeking warmth, but ignoring the available provision of warmth from God Almighty? When I find myself cold, I have to stop and think, where does warmth come from? And it comes from my Savior. You know, this morning, you know, Kathy and I are taking care of 6 grandkids out of 10. Because my kids are off on a marriage retreat, something like that. And you know, when they come and say, will you take care of our kids because of the marriage retreat? You don't say no. You say yes. So we were taking care of all these kids. It's wild. And this morning, little Eleanor, little 4-year-old, she just became 4. She just had a birthday, 4 years old. She comes through the door first. And she closes the door real quiet, and she jumps up in the chair, and I've already got the cartoons on the TV, and she sits down, and she has her little blanket. She calls it something. I don't know what it's called. You know, they all have something they call, whatever it is. So I get her blanket, and she's cold because Kathy likes it freezing. You can hang meat in our house. So she's sitting there freezing on the chair, and I get that little blanket she has, and I tuck her in, and I just thought, that's how it is with our Lord. Sometimes we're cold in our spirit, and He can warm us up. Sometimes we're like those birds. We just need to be warmed up. If you will, turn in your Bibles. Now, this is in the NASB, so we're good here. Hopefully, if Doug listens to this, he'll turn it on right now. It says, the title of this lesson is... What gets us back home? What gets us back home? Turn in your Bibles to Luke 18. Luke 18. And I'm going to be reading, and I'm sorry I don't have anything on the screen. I'm kind of computer illiterate when it comes to that kind of stuff. So maybe next time I can have something for you. But Luke 18, and I'm going to read... from 35 to 43. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Listen to this. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. They gave praise to God. You know, this is a special story, and I'm going to tell you why. But we're going to go back to verse 35, and we're going to work our way through it, if you will. Verse 35 says, and Jesus, you know, and also we've got some questions this morning. Some key questions. This is kind of a low-key message this morning, but some key questions. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road. You know, Who's the blind man? Well, we find in other parts of Scripture, in the Gospel of Mark, that it was Bartimaeus. Same story, Bartimaeus. Whenever something appears in several different Gospels, as Doug often tells us, that's pretty important stuff. There's something special there that we need to find. This story suggests that this man had nobody and probably sat down weary of wandering. Isn't it interesting that he wasn't by the city gates? The beggars always stood by the gate. Why did they stand by the gate? What? Everybody comes through the gate. You have more chance, if you're a beggar, of receiving something if you're by the gate. Why is he not by the gate? I got to thinking about that. Why isn't he by the gate? Is he just a dumb blind guy? No. We will find out, he was very verbose. Whenever blind men approached Jesus through Scripture, they always yelled out. The people in the city were probably tired of listening to this guy. He had worn out his welcome. Let me ask you something. This guy, just think about it. This guy was blind. He was desperate. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been there? Not being blind, but have you ever been desperate? You know the feeling. When you don't know where to turn, meet Bartimaeus. That's him. Question two. Was it by chance that Bartimaeus just happened to be in the path of Jesus? As Doug has said many times, you can see I learn everything from Doug. As Doug has said many times, nothing happens by chance in this life. You can think, well, you know, I had a divine appointment so many years ago, and you know, maybe that wasn't by chance. Nothing happens to you in life that's by chance. It wasn't by chance that Bartimaeus was by the road and he wasn't at the city gates. It was planned. It's not by chance that you're here this morning. What will God say to you? Since you know now that you're supposed to be here, what will God say to you this morning? Verse 36. Now hearing the crowd going by, he, Bartimaeus, began to inquire what it was. Even though his eyes were blind, his keen ability to sift the sounds of the crowd made him curious to what was going on. The reason we continue to tell people about Jesus is because, you know, they might not be blind, but they might be blind in their soul. We keep telling people about Jesus because maybe, just maybe, there's one of their senses will pick up on the truth. You can't see, but you can hear. You can't speak, but you can see. We never give up with the world because there might be something there. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He says, you know, I witnessed a guy over and over and over and over and over and over. And then one time he came to me and says, what is it that you've got? It wasn't his message. It was his life. That's why we keep telling people. You know, Bartimaeus was a perfect example of the plight of the world. Their heads are barely above water and treading water for life. They just want to take a breath. They just want a break from the sea of oppression. God is enough. Verse 37. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Well, let me ask you something. Can you feel it? This blind beggar, desperate, on a dirty road, hears that Jesus is passing by. Do you know what's coming? Let's dive into Bartimaeus just for a minute. Listen to this. A spark of light begins to flash in his soul. He had obviously heard of Jesus, was unable to find him because the guy's blind. Desperation rises in his soul. You've been there. When I ask if anybody in here has been desperate, yeah, man, everybody's head's going up and down. Desperation rises in his soul, and his hope is maybe, just maybe, Jesus will have some answers. Jesus will be able to heal him. Question four. Let's talk about your affliction. Do you have an affliction in your body or soul that keeps you captive and you just can't break free? Let's define affliction or sickness. Let's define that. It's an unnatural balance. No. It's an unnatural imbalance in the mental, physical, spiritual part of you. A spiritual sickness can bring on mental illness and even physical illness. God made man to be a spiritual being, and everything is tied to that. You want to know what's wrong with the world? Why they do the things they do? It's because they haven't accessed the spiritual dimension that God has created them for. Can you blame them? They're desperate. They just want a breath of truth, and they don't know where to find it. God has made man to be a spiritual being, and everything is tied to it. When man is not complete spiritually, an imbalance occurs both physically and mentally until that balance is satisfied. You all know the verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Say it, Steve.
And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit,
of joints
and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Okay, joints and marrow. Is that part of the flesh, folks? God just, it's not some hocus pocus thing where all you're getting is something spiritual that's in your head. The life of a believer is not only spiritual, but it's physical. He affects all of us. The difference here is Bartimaeus was blind, and he was blind from birth. Bartimaeus, as well as you and I, were created to glorify God. That's why we have a spiritual dimension. Not so we can just sing kumbaya when it comes up, so we can glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus. Because Bartimaeus had this affliction, he recognized that there was nothing in life, nothing in the world that could help him. Nothing could help him. Question 5. Now listen to this. We're getting into some cool stuff here. I don't know that I like some of this, but maybe you will. Here it goes. If Bartimaeus had not been blind, do you suppose he would have had a need for Jesus? Man, if you're doing good, folks, everything's good, you're making money, you're buying new cars, everything's great. Sometimes you just don't think about God. Do you think if he was not blind, he would have the same concern? Probably not. But you never know. Sometimes we wonder why we have an affliction in our lives, only to find out the affliction demands that we recognize our need for something greater than what we can find in ourselves. You know, Here's a story, guys. I saw a documentary on Pete Maravich. Does anybody know who he was? Who, what? Who said that? Pistol Pete. I saw this documentary, and just because I was surfing through the channels, and this comes, Pistol Pete comes on there, and I saw that, and I punched it on. Well, this guy, if you've ever seen some highlights, you forget how incredible this guy was. He would jump at the midline and he would dunk that basket. Big guy, but not as big as they have today. He was amazing. It didn't matter where he shot that ball, it went through. And the highlights went over and over and over and over. It wasn't just one game. He was the whole team. And this guy, let me tell you something about this guy. It talked also as much about his successes as his failure to find life. He fought demons every day in his head. His mother committed suicide. He was struggling with life. And the only way he could get away with it is when he was on the court. He was hard to coach. He didn't want to listen to him, but he was a loner. And finally, he got hurt, and then he came back, and he was a miracle man again. And then finally, it was over. And he still didn't have any answers. He looked everywhere. Listen to this. He tried a life of yoga. He tried Hinduism, vegetarianism, microbioticism, whatever that is. You know what he also tried? Ufology. You know what that is? The study of UFOs. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. It is pretty humorous. But let me tell you something. When you are desperate in your soul, you'll try anything, anything, to find something that will fill that hole. And then Pete, Pistol Pete, found Jesus. His whole life changed. People had he'd get up and speak about coming to know Christ, and people would have a hard time recognizing him because he was so different. Sometimes we forget when we are believers that there's something different about us, and people don't see us like we were before we became a Christian. Pete was different. He loved God. He spent his whole life telling people about Jesus, about this amazing thing that had happened to him. Hundreds and thousands were saved because of him. And then one day, as many of you know, he was in a young man in a pickup game with Dr. Dobson, basketball, shooting hoops, and he dropped dead right there. Right there. But still, hundreds and thousands came to know Christ because of that man. He wasted his life, most of his life, only to find Christ. And at the end of his life, he had an incredible effect. Let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter what your age is now, who you are. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Your words and your life counts. It always counts. Verse 38. Let's see what happened to Bartimaeus. Even though I read the passage already, let's see what happened to him. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He said this with such volume that it could not be ignored. Did he care? No. Whatever it takes, folks. When you're desperate, you do whatever it takes. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Let me ask you something this morning. How do you call out for help? You know, God won't be embarrassed by the volume of your call. Sometimes, you know, when I'm desperate, I'll go somewhere where they can't hear me, and I'll call out to God. He isn't embarrassed. You know, one time a friend of mine called me. And he said, "Chris, we got a problem." This was when I was in high school. And I would attend Kay Brady's class. And I was in high school, and she'd get me to take her to different speaking things just so she'd have somebody there in case she had trouble or whatever. And where was Doug back then? No, but I it was great. It was great. And I was just stunned at her messages. And one day this friend of mine calls me, Jim, he calls me, my best friend. He says, "Man, we got a problem, Chris." I said, "What's going on, Jim?" He says, "Oh, Nathan, he beat his mother up." I said, "He did what? Do we need to go get him?" And we're not going to go get Nathan because he's about twice the size of both of us. And he says, "No," he says, "man, I don't know what to do. His mother's wailing, and she called me, and we need to go over there." I said, "Okay, so let's go." So I got in my car, and I went over to Nathan's house. And sure enough, this lady was out of control. It was horrible. And we just sat there with, you know, our eyes, not knowing what to do. And I said, "You know what we need to do, Jim?" He says, "What?" I said, "We need to take her to Mrs. Brady." And so we coaxed her to come out, and we got her in the car, and she's wailing and calling out and asking for help, and nothing was helping her. And I'm thinking as I'm going over there, you know, I'm getting closer and closer. I'm thinking, what have I done? Mrs. Brady, you know, she's a star. What is she going to think with a couple of high school guys driving up with this crazed woman? So we get there, and I'm just thinking, oh, Jim, we probably made a mistake here. And so I walk up to the door, we knock on the door, and we open the door, and this lady's still wailing. And Mrs. Brady comes to the door, and she looks, and she gets this wild look on her face, like, what is going on? And I told her, Mrs. Brady, I'm sorry, this lady just had some trouble with her family, and I'm so sorry to bother you. I said, we'll just go, and everything will be fine. Please don't even think about us coming. And she said, no. Y'all come on in. So we went into her house, and she sat down at her table, breakfast table, and she says to the lady, let me tell you how this is going to be okay. And then a peace came over the room. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. I looked at Jim thinking, what's going on here? And she sat there and opened her Bible. You know, she always had her Bible right there. I don't know how she could read it. She was so marked up, you know. And she led that lady down the Roman road. And that lady bowed her head and said the most precious prayer you've ever heard in your life. And peace came over that lady. She was different. You know, when you're a Christian, you might see that every once in a while, but it still stuns you. It's so amazing. And we put her back in the car, and peace was in her soul. It was going to be okay. Somebody heard her cries when no one heard her cries before. We got her home and we got back in the car, and Jim says, let me tell you something. I don't think that was meant just for her. I think that was meant for us too. And I said, you got it, buddy. Have you ever seen anything like that? Who are you crying out to? That's the question. Who do you cry out to? Verse 39. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. This is Bartimaeus. We're back to Bartimaeus. To be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, here's my cynical observation. I got to put this in. You know, when you come to religious people, and please forgive me if I offend you. Doug Brady's not religious. He knows God. And when it comes to religion, I get kind of cynical sometimes. Sometimes those religious people always want to help those people of prominence. You know, they have needs too. But what about the person on the corner? What about the person on the dirt road? What about the blind beggar? I get so cynical there. You know, I was I'm a contractor, and I was on the job one day, and I went down to Holland Park Cafeteria in Cassie Linda. And I had a job going down in Casa View, a restaurant, and I went to Casa Highland Park Cafeteria, and I'm walking up to the front door, and this man comes running down the walkway, waving his arms, sir, sir, hold it, hold it. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I'm thinking, do I have my gun with me? What's going on? I'm sorry I said that, folks, if I offended you. And I looked around and thinking, who's he talking to? And it was me. And he comes up to me, and I'm getting ready, folks. Just a ragged-looking guy. He says, can you just buy me something to eat? Just something. And I said, well, sure. Come on in. So we went down the line, and he comes through the line. And he says, can I get this? I said, yeah, you can get that. Can I get that? I said, yeah, you can get that. Well, you think maybe I could have a cup of coffee? I said, yeah, man, go ahead. You can have that. And then he's looking at the little ice cream things in there. He says, no, you can't have that. And I broke out laughing. I said, yeah, man, you can have that too. That was Bartimaeus. That was Bartimaeus. You know, in humanistic logic would dictate that those who are prominent would get all the attention, not Bartimaeus. You know, Jesus came to heal the sick, not cater to those of prominence. Matthew 9:12 says, Jesus said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Those who realize their plight. Now here's a WWJD moment. What would Jesus do? Verse 40. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him. Here's the question God asks the world. What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. Folks, he didn't have to think about his question, did he? He was plagued by this affliction all of his life. He didn't have to think. Let me ask you something. What do you ask God for this morning? Do you have to think about it? Some of you here today, there's nothing wrong if you don't have anything right on the top of your head, but there's some of you here today that know exactly what you would say. I said, you know, have you been blessed with an affliction? That's the part I don't like. Did you hear what I said? Have you been blessed with an affliction? This man, Bartimaeus, was intimate with his affliction. He lived it night and day. Let's see what the Bible says about affliction, real quick. Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. What's it all about? It's all about your relationship with Christ, whatever it takes. God loves you so much, he wants to do whatever it takes to get you to him. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. 119:71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You know, when you're under affliction and you're looking to God for help, you look to every word in that scripture. You look at every commentary of what that means because you want answers. You want answers. Psalms 22:24, for he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. Whatever your prayer is, if you know Christ, whatever your cry is for help, you can rest assured that Jesus hears it. Jesus hears it. Psalms 37:25. I was young. Now listen to this. This is great. Listen to this. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. Folks, if you know Jesus, you're in the family. Do you ever think about how wonderful that is? You're in the family. When you're telling somebody about Christ, you want them in the family. You want them to benefit from the things you know God will do for them. That's your burden. That's your burden. You know, God may be waiting for your cry, or maybe your affliction isn't great enough to beg God for help. If we don't ask, are we surprised why nothing happens? And you know, I said the word beg. You know, religious people don't like that word. They don't like beg. You know, I asked my mother one time, I said, Mom, three boys, and whatever it was we could get into, we got into it. And I asked my mother once we were grown, and I said, Mom, I said, how did you survive? How did you survive? She says, Son, I just learned how to be a beggar. I said, what? I said, I just learned how to be a beggar. I said, what do you mean? She says, I beg God every day for you boys. I begged God. And you know how I knew she was telling the truth? Y'all, please forget this after I tell you. Is some of the things that we got into, it was a miracle how we got out of them. It was like supernatural. I saw the hand of God and I didn't even think about it. Because she was begging God for me and for my brothers. Do you beg God? 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all, do you hear that? In all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know why you can tell some people about Jesus? Because you've been there. You have been there. Yeah, okay. It's great, isn't it? Comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And, you know, I ask the question again. Would Bartimaeus have found Jesus if he hadn't been blind? And Jesus, verse 42, we're almost done, folks. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Let your faith has made you well. Receive your sight. You know, I got to thinking about that. Receive your sight. The Lord spoke a word. What did he do in Genesis 1:3? Let there be light. Folks, that's what makes a person different when they come to Christ, because when they come to Christ, it's just like God speaking light into their soul. Let there be light, and everything changes. That's what happened to Mrs. Meyerson that I took over to Kay Brady's. Everything changes. He doesn't want you to change. He wants to change you. You know, people are always saying, well, I got to clean up my act. I got to do this. I got to do that. If you do that, you'll never find Christ. Ask him in, and he will change you. Let's see what happened to Bartimaeus, verse 43. Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. There we go. He's glorifying God. That's what we need to be doing, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. You know, my question today is, what brings you to Jesus? Does he have something to say to you? Maybe this affliction is not by chance. So you will look to him. What is your request? I ask it again. What is your request of God? Do you think it's not worth asking? Do you feel that unworthy to even call on God? If you do, that's exactly where he wants you. To feel unworthy. If God has been speaking to you, God may be speaking to you through Bartimaeus. God gave us his name. His name is recorded in here. There's very few people whose names are recorded. But he gave us that because he knew that's important. He knew that when you come to Christ, whether you know God or not, that you need to shout out to him. If you've got something that's afflicting you and you're struggling, think of Bartimaeus. I want to receive my sight. One more thing, folks. I don't ever assume that everybody that's here this morning has made a decision for Christ. Now, you're in the greatest class in the church. Don't tell anybody I said that. And it's a wonderful. And these people are wonderful. But let me tell you something, folks. You, in every gathering, there's always those who have never taken that step to Christ. Have never called out the simple question. You know, I want to read one more passage and we'll be done. Luke 23:39-43. Now let me read this. I'll start with 38. Now there was also an inscription above him. This is when Jesus was on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. Now listen to this. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you the Christ? Save us, save yourself and us. In other passages it says both of them were abusing the Lord. Both of them were. It says, but the other answered, rebuking him, and said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me. The murderer was saying, the criminal was saying, the man that deserved death was saying, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did he say? Remember me. Is that a long prayer? He knew his plight. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he didn't have Christ. Remember me when you come to your sin. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Folks, it's not a hard thing to come to Christ, yet it's impossible. Sometimes you just got to ask. You know, there were two thieves on that cross. Two. It didn't matter what Jesus said, what Jesus did. That other thief was not going for it. He was going to sit there on that cross and die for his sins. When all he had to say is, remember me. You know what I'd been saying? Me too, Lord. Me too. This morning, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you haven't made that decision for Christ, you can make it this morning. You can say, me too, Lord. And when I say this prayer, you pray it to God, not to me. You pray it to Jesus. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to make decisions. You don't have to be religious and go to church. You just have to say the word. Pray it after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner, Lord. You paid for my sin on the cross by dying and paying that debt. Father, I pray that you save me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer this morning, tell Doug or tell me. Be happy to know it. Thanks.